Belden, Frank, 1903. Frank Belden, my dear nephew. I commenced a letter to you March 1st, acknowledging the receipt of your letters, but I was not in a condition health-wise to handle them. I waited to understand better what I should do. I could not understand. If I read any matters in letters, they may refer to standing difficulties, and then the report will be, Sister White has been informed in regard to these things. The very ones who brought the letters will say many things when they are reproved that someone has told Sister White. But here is a large amount of matter, and as those who claim to believe the truth have no more faith in the testimonies than their works and walk and attitude reveal, I am instructed to not take on this burden. There have been deep wrongs in business transactions. God is highly displeased. After accepting the job of my two books, Great Controversy and Patriarchs and Prophets, which were in the field, they issued a book that was gotten up by several writers and cost a meager sum. They consulted together what they would do, put all the influence possible on Bible readings, and take the position that one book shall occupy the field. They let Patriarchs and Prophets lie on the shelves when a promise had been made that if I would come down from 20 cents to 10, they would push the books most significantly, and I accepted the proposition. Then the remark was made they hoped I would say 8 cents in the place of 10. I refused to do this, but told them I had not rest day nor night because the instruction was given me that these two books would make a very great difference with the sentiments of the people in regard to the exalting of the Sunday law and making Sunday to take the place of the Sabbath. I urged, I entreated, that the books must come to the people. Then the Lord presented to me, I was not to place my publications in the power of the men who could repress the word of the testimony of the Lord, as though it was to have no more force than any other productions, that all this was dishonoring to God. There were thousands that had my testimonies in the large gatherings at our camp meetings, and had heard me relate the very positive light given me in these testimonies. Those in the Review and Herald office handling the books with the distinct, important matters that had been revealed to me, who came to me and wished me to suppress, cut out, those things that show so plainly they were received in a vision. I said, no, it is that very point that God would have appear. It would restrain the pen of many who have heard me from signing documents that otherwise they would sign, for there were men so deeply impressed with the relation of these things they have heard from me in public that the angels of God had impressed upon their hearts. Angels of God would be close by their side to impress their needs. In having these books come to the people, and their reading them, a far greater work would be done for the one reading by the angel who had given me the light and bid me write them out quickly. For the enemy was having an influence upon minds that had not investigated the Bible to see what positive instruction the great I Am had given to his people in the Word. Exodus chapter 20. The Lord himself came upon Sinai's mount and spoke in awful grandeur his law. Again he gave directions that Moses should give to the people. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 18. And what could be more positive? Well, these two books were in vindication and magnifying of the law of God. The attention of the people would be called to this subject, and angels of God would impress the minds just as minds have been impressed with the book, Christ's Object Lessons. Recently, I could make no more impression on these men than if they were chiseled out of granite. I went to camp meetings and was asked why the canvassing agents had instructed presidents of conferences and churches and canvassers to handle only one book. This was a fraudulent transaction, but men had the power in their hands. When, in agony of soul, I was talking most earnestly and showing Captain Eldridge that they were closing up the way, that the light God had given should not come to the people, he turned from me as captain, saying, I will see you when you feel better. I considered this language to me an insult against God in the person of one who had been giving light in testimonies to his people. For 2 or 3 years this work was done, and meanwhile the very work was being done in obtaining signatures for a Sunday law.
If these books had been in the field, many signatures to those documents would never have appeared, because Bible truth, presented in a clear light, would have occupied their due place. Many testimonies were born how wonderfully the Lord had blessed them in canvassing, presenting the books that had been shut away from the people by the devising of human agencies, putting before human minds their plans against God's plan. At that time, some things were opened to me. "Not long," said a voice, "will God permit these officers to handle the books which they do not appreciate, and will close their ears and hearts, refusing the precious testimonies sent of God. They acted the spoiler, and I will spoil them, that they will not practice and prosper. They have an account to settle with God." While my books were lying dead upon the shelves, I sent to draw some money from the Review and Herald office, and the messenger came back with a refusal. Brother Kellogg took a roll of bills and pressed them into my hands, and tears were running down his cheeks. I said no, but afterward consented to receive the loan of money. One night, a messenger from heaven came to me and said, "You will have to take your books and cut away from all those who believe not the testimony of the Spirit of God, but claim that the voice of the General Conference is as the voice of God. No, now from henceforth shall it be said, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are we.'" Jeremiah 7, verse 4. Wicked works are carried on, and you will have to remove your books. Take them under your own charge, for there is not strict principle and justice and righteousness. God sees. God knows. If I had then uncorrupted men to venture, I would have done this work we are now trying to do. I was instructed that there were those who made no profession of truth who would do more righteously and justly than the men who claimed to be empowered to act. I did not at that time understand, as I now do, that had I moved then just as it was presented to me, there would have been a crisis that would have changed all the features of the work. But we kept hoping against hope. The last General Conference in Battle Creek, the Lord presented to me, would be to many an opportunity to discern the movings of the Spirit of God. The Lord's hand should hold me up. The Lord's words would be put in the lips of His servant, and decisions would then be made for eternity. Revelation 2, 1-5. Revelation 3, 1-5, verse 14. Never would there be any greater evidence given than on that occasion. All who did not improve that opportunity would be more and more blinded by the enemy to do strange things. And there will be a new order of things. I will turn and overturn. I will prove and I will try the people who have been following their own pernicious ways, by whom the truth has been misrepresented. I will humble those who have falsified principle if they harden their hearts as did Pharaoh. I will come near unto them in judgment, and they shall not know what hour I shall come upon them. I require truth in the inward parts. All the phases of experience that have been contrary to my word, contrary to the testimonies I have given, have no controversy with them. Their strong spirit will wax stronger. Their blindness will increase. The gospel ministry has been depreciated. Every additional truth which the Holy Spirit has revived and brought to the front is to develop additional principles of the Word and the Kingdom of God. It is a fresh air time, increasing light in opening to minds the principles of holiness and fresh elements of virtue. It is the bringing upon the highest platform a power of medical missionary work bound up with the gospel ministry. The pride of physical and medical science will be bound up in the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will be the subduing agency through the gospel ministry in a variety of methods of healing, which leads those who will be on the Lord's side to separate from sin and sinners. It is the power of God unto all who believe. And this power is not in name, neither is it bound up in companies and written vows and pledges and doctoring. It gathers grapes from thorns and figs from thistles, because of the transforming power of God's grace.
The Lord will be revealed, the sick will be healed, and the wrath of man turned into a song of praise, worthy to awaken the minstrels of heaven. It will pass by the scientist. It will take no notice of the capabilities and arts and skill of man. But it takes the common people and gives them interpretations of principle that closes the mouths of those who have exalted themselves. It is the great power of God unto salvation. The weak shall be as David. The way of obedience is the only path and royal road for the redeemed to travel. There will be those who sit in darkness who will see great light, and then the Lord will be magnified by all who have kept the beginning of their confidence firm until the end. The gospel of God unto salvation rescues the wretched from vice and sin, and the human agencies who have had the least rays of light become instinct with capabilities and the power of God. The gospel of God unto salvation retains all its original power of development and practical virtue. Any soul would understand the word principle is no mixture. It is truth, pure and unadulterated, that has been waiting to develop intensity, earnestness, that is of a value above the pure gold of Ophir to fill the world with the wonders of grace. Do you admire the representation, the practical utility of the Holy Spirit's working? Christ turns to his humble ones and with deep compassion and love repeats, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the floods came, and the storm beat upon the house, and it fell not because it was founded upon the rock." Matthew 7, verse 24-25. The character of the Christian who practices the truth of the gospel will be in his simplicity, representing monumental truths, commemorative of the great saving message for these last days. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15.